Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Astrid Kaufman and Louis D'Souza. Today is Monday, November the 18th, 2019. It's 4 p.m. New York time, and wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. I'm glad to be starting the week once again and getting back to doing shows. We actually missed a show on Friday, guys, because Linda wasn't feeling well, but hopefully she'll be better again this coming Friday. I hope you guys had a good weekend. How are things at your end, Astrid? Everything going well over there?
Yeah, beautiful day today. So I went out for a long walk.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Appreciate all the countryside and all the wonderful things outside, and I had a great time.
That's good stuff. How about you, Louis? What's happening at your end, your neck of the woods, as they say?
Had a lovely day today. Just quite busy, really.
That's cool.
Same old.
Yeah, but it sounds like good saying old, so that's a good thing. So anyway, I had a topic in mind for today, and it stemmed actually from when Astrid first came on and asked me how I was doing, and I said, well, interesting, and then followed up with that actually ties into the topic I had in mind, because one of the challenges everybody has at one time or another is staying in a high vibrational space. So I figured, why don't we talk about some strategies for staying in a high vibrational space? I'm sure that listeners will appreciate that. I'm sure that I'll appreciate that. That's one reason why I come up with these topics, because I know I will definitely benefit from them. And I suspect between the three of us, we can probably come up with quite a few different options. I'm going to point to a rather obvious one just to get the whole thing started, because in Esther and Jerry Hicks's book, Abraham Hicks's book, Asking It Is Given, at the back, there are 22 different processes you can follow for raising your vibration, for getting yourself into a better feeling place, no matter where you are on that 22-point scale of theirs. And I can't say I use it often, but I have used it in the past, and I've used various practices in there, and they're good. I mean, actually, the hardest part for me, and Louis, I'll be curious to know what your take is, because I have a feeling you kind of go a different route. But for me, the hardest part with even trying to do these things was understanding how they're organized, because actually not only do they give you different processes, but they give them to you with indications as to when you should use them relative to how you're feeling at a given point in time. So if you're feeling depressed, you don't want to use one of the earlier ones in the list. And if you're feeling really great, you don't want to use one of the later ones in the list, because you're going to miss the boat. It's just not going to work for you. But so that's what that to me is the biggest challenge. But once you get that down, it's not too bad. But like I said, I haven't used them a whole lot. Louis, do you use those processes at all? Is that something you do?
I imagine the focus wheel is one of them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Path paving is another one, and I do that. So pre-paving. So, yeah, I imagine that I use some of them, but I haven't put them in order, because it's fairly easy for me to focus on getting in a better place. It's not hugely challenging anymore, but in the beginning it was. So, you know, it just takes a bit of practice, but once you're in the zone, it's a lot easier.
Well, that's true.
So getting in the zone is what we're talking about here. And A lot of what Abraham talks about is how to get in the zone and to do it relatively easily when you're in a space where it can be quite challenging to still the mind and get off the subject. And that's one of the things, is to get off the subject.
Yes, right. Yeah, especially if the subject is not working in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I was listening to something on YouTube where Abraham talks about getting off the subject. But you know, when life is coming at you, because if we were all monks and we were living in a sort of peaceful space, it would be a lot easier to increase our vibration and not really be challenged every time we walk out the door.
Yes, true.
That's what it is. It's about staying in that high vibration when you achieve it, to stay in it for as long as possible, especially when you walk out the door, when life is coming at you. So, and I suppose that's step four, and step five is to get back to that place of allowing and receiving. So I suppose the first way simple things to get ourselves into that space before we even, you know, have to interact with the rest of the world is to meditate, sleep.
Yes.
Or the other way around. Meditate, sleep, meditate.
Sometimes one leads to the other. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And those things are really good to still the mind, to slow the momentum, as we've talked about a lot. And then having the awareness of when it is that we're sliding. So I think getting off the subject and being really gentle with ourselves as well. And, you know, for me, a deeper awareness of how I feel is really important. So when I feel angry at myself or angry at someone else, if I become aware of that, then I can pivot. And that's one of the processes in the back of the book of Ask and It Is Given. You can pivot. So the way that I see that is I literally am in a plane, and it's an airplane, and I'm alone. I'm not with anyone else. I'm driving my plane or flying my plane. That's more, you know, like it. And I'm flying my plane, and something's coming at me, and it's a big black cloud. Sorry, it's a big black cloud on the right-hand side. I don't know why it's always the right-hand side, but it is. For me. And, you know, something else will work for you or someone else. Mm-hmm. But for me, pivoting is going the other way. It's just going away from that cloud. I have control. I'm steering the wheel. And I'm going to the lovely sunshine, you know, the paradise island. I see it there. I see everything that's in my vortex. And I'm heading that way. And it becomes a real visual that can instantly take me from a very, well, bad place to a very good place. And that's really worked for me. Just a really, really simple visual like that, that I can use anywhere I am.
What a great little vignette that is. I like that.
Sorry?
I mean, it fits a vignette really nicely. A vignette being like a little short scene that you play out for yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, airplane flight, that's about freedom. That's about, you know, you can do anything you want, go anywhere you want to. I love that. That's really good.
And you have control.
You have control, yeah. Every step of the way.
Yeah.
There's a few things I wanted to point out, Astrid, from what you said. Now, number one is you talked about monks, and we're not like monks. Now, monk training in the past used to be like, They give you a wet blanket in the middle of winter and tell you to go down to the river and make sure that you're still alive and the towel is, and the blanket is dry in the morning. So, or they would brick you up into a like cave type thing and then, you know, feed you food for 3 months and you get no interaction with anybody. So,
this is the fraternity version of monastery life.
That's right. Yes, it's those crazy books I've been reading as a kid. But what Carolyn Mace said is she said we are monks without monasteries.
Mm.
And
okay.
I really like that idea because there's a lot of us that are really on a spiritual path, but we're living in the middle of the cities and the busy life and all the rest of it. And we're still trying to keep that spiritual path. You know, I remember there's been stages in my life where I've been going through so much spiritual stuff that I'd love to go to my boss and say, hey, I just need to chill for a while. Can I take off a week or two or a month or a year or, you know, you're just not going to get it and you don't even bother to ask. So you've kind of got to live in this world at the same time as be aligned. And, you know, I remember saying to my mentor when she was training me at the age of 21, she said to me, no, I said to her, I want to go sit at the feet of a master in India. And she said, well, it'd be better if you just go get married and have kids. You'll learn more that way.
I love it.
And she loved twisting my head into little pieces because at the time I was like, how does this work? And so I got married and had kids and I understand what she's talking about.
You're a wiser man than you were at 20.
Yeah. Oh, a wiser man than sitting at the feet of a master.
Well, that too, yes.
So, you know, we are kind of monks without monasteries, and we're living the more aligned life. And what you're talking about, Walt, is how do you get more of that alignment?
Mm.
And I think, again, every single time somebody says to me, how do you do something like this? I would say, first of all, understand the basics of the law of attraction. Because only when you understand that, do you understand, you know, I could tell you I like having a bath, or I like going to a movie, or I like listening to a book or some music or something, and that puts me into a happier place. Now, we all know those kind of things, but do you understand what you're doing, how you do it, how do you maintain it, how do you increase it, how do you understand that, Astrid was saying, a negative place to a positive place, and I would say no, from an expansion place to a positive place.
Well, it's two different heaps, isn't it?
No, they're exactly the same thing. One is looking at it as negative, and one is looking at the negativity as expansion.
It's a spin.
It's a spin, but it's a very valid spin. It's a spin that can spin you far farther and fling you far better in the right direction. Mm-hmm. To understand it as that. So I never think of negativity anymore. I now think of expansion points in my life.
But what you're saying, Louis, is that yes, I understand what you're saying. So when you're in alignment, in vibrational alignment with your inner being, your perspective is so different, so that what you call negative when you're not in alignment is really not negative when you're coming at it from a different vibrational alignment. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that what I used to call negative, even when I'm in the dump, okay, I don't call it a negative, I don't call it a dump, I just call it an expansion point. Because when I'm looking at the word expansion point, I can now see that I can expand out of it. But when I'm looking at it as negativity, I'm looking at it as something that'll possibly go on forever or a long time. So, you know, whenever I'm hitting the funk or the gunk, what do they call it? A guy funk? a gunk. There is a word for it. So when you're in one of those places, then you're not thinking of it as negative anymore. You're now thinking of it as, I now know what I don't want, what do I want, and let me spend some more time focusing on it. So you shorten the time frame. I'm not saying I don't get negative. I'm not saying I don't get frustrated or angry. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying that when I do it, I'm now looking for, oh, I know what I don't like. What do I do like? And I might not be able to go there quickly, but I'm not looking at it as negativity anymore. So that has been completely removed and replaced with a clear understanding that I am focusing on expansion points. And it really has served me extremely well. And I can't believe how I used to think of it as negativity, because I see how much more beneficial seeing it as an expansion point is. So it just makes a huge difference.
So is that when you are in a space, when you are sort of contrast is happening and you are asking, and that creates an expansion point? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So what I'm saying is I'm getting frustrated or angry. I now don't see it as a negative emotion, and that still happens to me quite often. I'm not seeing it as negative emotion. I'm immediately thinking, what are the thoughts that I'm angry about? Oh, I'm frustrated that my daughter didn't do the dishwasher or something. So wouldn't it be nice if she did the dishwasher more often? Oh, that does feel so much better in my mind. Let me focus a little more on that. So it's all about taking the pivot that you were talking about, Astrid, and moving towards it, but not looking at it as negativity anymore, just looking at it as an expansion point to pivot.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So is that step five then? Is that step four or five, where you're narrowing the time when, first of all, you're very aware of you identify how you feel, so that's a really important step. And then you change your thoughts about it. So Is that right? So are you...
So step three is lowering resistance.
Yes.
Okay. Step four is doing lowering resistance again and again and again and again.
Yes.
And step five is...
getting much quicker.
Is shortening or is realizing that you're in the negative as soon as you get there and turning it around and pivoting. So, yeah, it's probably more step five than anything else here.
Now, when we talk about pivoting, one of the things that often will come up, particularly for somebody early on in their practice of pivoting, is it gets expressed a lot of different ways, but I think what it usually adds up to is I have trouble when I'm pivoting coming up with what it is I really want in a way that I can verbalize formally. And instead, what I tend to do is I'll tend to say, I don't want the thing that I don't want, which is the way most people tend to go.
Which is completely disadvantageous.
Right, exactly.
You're just going to get more of it that way, and it is of no value to you whatsoever. So, you know, even if you need to write down on a piece of paper, I am angry about this, and then you write on the other side of the paper, wouldn't it be nice if that, because you can see the contrast of it. You know, you might have to go to that length of breaking it down, but most of the time I do it mentally. I hate writing things down. I'm just not one of those people. I remember when I used to go to seminars, they used to say to me often, you know, you've got to write down and people are going to see you writing down. And, you know, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to write down because I'm never going to read my notes. And I'm not that kind of guy. So everybody's different. Everybody learns differently. Mm. And it's really important, I think, to appreciate the differences in anybody's learning abilities and the way they learn. So, you know, when you're learning the law of attraction, you need to find out what works for you and the way it works for you. And go down that route, because it's really important for you to understand how you learn. And everybody's quite different. Some people are very audio. Some mm-hmm. people are more visual. Some people are more writing. Some people are, you know, and find that way that works for you. You know, some people say, I can never listen to an audio book. I said, that's great, then read.
You know? Yeah, right.
And somebody will say, I can only listen to an audio book like me. And I'll, you know, so that's also great, you know. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're finding the way it works for you. And we're all different. We're all so different. And, you know, I've got to really appreciate how everybody wants to do things differently and just let them get on with it. But realize your own, because that's the important thing. What do you like to learn and the way you want to learn? Like the Abraham Hicks's processes, you know, Abraham says, you know, you're not going to do them all, but find some that you like. And that's exactly what I did. I just found the ones that I liked and I left all the rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to choose one, you know, choose one that that resonates with you and just get to know it.
Well, you actually mentioned one, Louis. I'm not sure if you thought about it in terms of it being one of their processes, but it is. Wouldn't it be nice if that?
Yeah,
that's one of their processes. Yeah. And it covers a lot of different spaces, so to speak, on the emotional guidance scale.
It does. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah, you can use it in almost any situation. Unless you're really, really depressed, then there's probably another one that's going to be more effective for you. But yeah.
There's that other one which Astrid said she was going to spend a week doing. If not that, something better.
Oh, yes.
if not that, something better.
That one doesn't really work for me at this moment.
Okay.
So I'm keeping that in maybe for. Until it kind of clicks.
Right, okay. We'll forgive you for not doing it. We know that you have your own way of learning.
I remember, too, the first time that I read Asking It Is Given and got to the processes, I remember skipping over the first few really quickly. I mean, I really skimmed them. And at the time, I wasn't really sure why, other than they seemed boring to me. Now I understand it's because I really was not feeling very good, and those are for when you're already feeling pretty good.
Mm, mm, mm.
But the first one is actually one of the best ones that we can do, I think, the Rampage of Appreciation. And you only want to do that when you're feeling bored or better. You don't want to feel any kind of negativity in order to do that one. But, boy, does that one move quickly.
I must say, the listening to Abram Hicks's Rampage of Appreciation.
Oh, my goodness.
They really. There's something about the way it's said and the vibration of it that is really powerful.
Yeah. You listen to 1 minute of that, and all of a sudden you'll feel like 5 or 6 steps up just by listening to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but when
worth
you get
it.
Started and you get going, boy, can you really get going?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, actually, about, I'm going to say, 1.5 years ago, Tom Wells was one of my co-hosts at that point in time, and he and I did an entire show on Wouldn't It Be Nice If. We just kept going back and forth with Wouldn't It Be Nice If, and just whatever we could come up with. And by the end of it, we were like floating on the ceiling. I mean, it was one of the most powerful shows we ever did.
Between the three of us, my gosh.
I've thought about doing that, actually.
Yeah.
I thought about doing that for a show or two, just, you know, just to kind of raise
Wouldn't it be nice if we did a show like that?
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't it be nice if Walt brought that up again next time? You know?
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice?
In fact, Tom and I also found that about halfway through, Wouldn't It Be Nice If seemed weak because we had built our vibration up so high. So we turned it into Isn't It Great That? Because we were already feeling it, rather than Wouldn't It Be Nice If we got to that feeling. Once we're feeling it, it was like, Isn't It Great That? And at that point, it was just, it was crazy.
But that's interesting, isn't it? Because you felt the vibrational difference between Wouldn't It Be Nice If and It Is Great That.
Yeah.
And you shifted into that when you were in the space of that.
Precisely.
Yes.
Precisely.
And then it's a natural progression into it. But if you had started off with that, it wouldn't have felt so great. Yeah.
Probably not. No, we probably would have had to work. Which, of course, is the one thing we want to try to do the least.
To avoid, yeah.
Yes, when we're doing these things. I mean, it can take a little bit of work at first, the very first time you try any of these things. But that's the other thing I was going to mention, too. I remember when I first was starting to try some of these things, trying to do vibrational raising stuff, and getting very frustrated with my inability at that time to, first of all, identify what it is that I liked and wanted. I mean, I was so used to just expressing things in terms of what I didn't want that, you know, I had to sit there and think about, okay, so what does that mean that I really want? And I tripped myself up for the longest time on that. And what I learned is that, well, you just keep doing it every day anyway. Because even if you're tripping up, after a few days of it, you start to get the hang of it. You actually have your little list that you start building over time, your go-to list. Well, yeah, I definitely want this, and so that's always on my list. Oh, and I definitely want that. That's always on my list. And so it starts to build up. But just staying with it is very effective for building it up.
But wouldn't it be nice is also heading towards what it is I want.
Want, yeah.
So that's why it's so effective, because fundamentally, Louis, you were talking about knowing the basic principles of the law of attraction, which is
know. If you know what you don't want, you have a better idea what you do want.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't even want to say it.
but know what you want rather than
what you don't want.
Well, do you know why I think we struggle so much with finding out what we want is because we're so used to the huge variety of negatives.
Oh, no doubt.
That we are not used to the small selection of positives that we actually have.
It's
an interesting question there.
I mean, there's a huge selection of positives if that's how we choose to look at the world.
But if you say cancer, what is the positive for that? It's wellness. If you look at all the ailments, you're looking at wellness. So you're looking at one thing versus a million things.
That's the way it can seem, especially when you're in that negative place.
Yes.
And it can be difficult to realize that it's that simple, guys. It's just wellness. It's just happiness. And that's all we're looking for. But it seems too simple for us because we're so used to this variety of masses of negative things that, oh, it's really that simple. Yeah, it is, my gosh, simple.
That's very true. I mean, you know, we have, we talk about harmony, and yet there's a medical dictionary that, you know, that shows you a whole million lots of disharmonies, and they have to name them all. So yes, in that respect, yes.
I think we're very. Yeah. It's very disconcerting in the beginning. I found to say, yeah. "Oh my gosh, it's really that simple. It's so clear, so simple, so small, so precious, so loving, so nice, and then you got this meridian of massive other things on the other side, and you're like, can it really be that simple?"
For me, it actually went a little bit further. For me, it went to, well, no, that can't be right.
Yeah, I can believe
it. It was just, no, that's too simplistic. That, I mean, you know, we would have figured that one out decades ago.
Yeah, no. I mean, when you start understanding the law of attraction, it kind of eliminates the entire medical profession to a huge degree. I mean, to like 90% of us, it's just gone.
Well, actually, that's something I was opining on toward the end of last week. I was suggesting the idea that I would love to see people who are in the medical profession, medical researchers, doctors, nurses, alternative practitioners. I'd like to see everybody in that general broad field doing more research associated with defining and describing and learning what health is. Because everything is defined, and we just said this pretty clearly, everything is defined in terms of diseases. Like you said, Asher, they have entire books full of names of diseases. Not just names, they've got categories. They've got databases. They've got charts showing you all how all these databases of information all interlink together to explain these disease structures. But they have very little to describe and define health. And I just have this feeling, if we spent more time, if we as a species, we or maybe the broader we of the medical field as a whole, spent more time focusing on trying to define and describe and research what health was, I just have this feeling it would produce some amazing step forward.
The thing is, in our Western medicine, as opposed to Eastern medicine, what's become the case in Western medicine is that it's become very specialized. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've got a pain in your big toe, you go to a specialist of the big toe. It's not even the foot. Mm-hmm. Because a specialist of the rest of the foot won't have specialized in a pain in the big toe. It's that in a way ridiculous. So if you don't look at the body as a whole, then how can you look at health? Because health is a holistic thing that we are, you know, as a whole, not just health of our toe, but the health of our toe might be, you know, our healthy toe might be due to our brain being healthy. When we look at energy, it's you know, energy functions go through the rest of the body, and therefore if you clear something far away from the toe, as in Eastern medicine, for instance, or acupuncture or whatever, what we do, Jin Shinjutsu, then you clear the pain in the big toe by clearing something in the head. You know,
Astrid, when you say you clear something in the head, you're really saying you're clearing your negative thought to a more positive thought, because thoughts create your reality.
Well, in terms of energy function, we're not clearing the thoughts, although that is a byproduct of clearing whatever is congested in the head, and therefore clears the energy that goes down the front and up the back and then clears the toe, sort of thing.
So we're playing chicken and the egg here. What comes first, energy or thought?
I vote for energy, but whatever.
So...
Well, looking at it from different perspectives. So
source energy.
Yes.
Source energy would be when you're in alignment, you've got more access to source energy. When you're in alignment, you're thinking more about what you want and less what you don't want.
Yes, absolutely.
And so if you want more energy from source, the thing you have control over is your thought, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when you focus more on what you want, you get more energy. So I don't know, is it chicken or egg? I don't know. I think it is thought first. I don't know. It was the discussion we ended the last podcast on, which,
that's true.
which we're touching on right now. The lady said you should call the law of attraction. This new guru said to her, you should call the law of attraction focused attraction.
Oh, that's right. We were supposed to talk about that today too, weren't we? Yeah. And I remember the look on your face when that term came up.
That's right. And
it looked like you did something really unpleasant.
it's a bit like saying, you know, driving of a car is the car. Okay. I don't know. It's kind of an analogy that I came up with. I'm sure there's a much better one out there. But driving is not the car. You might be driving a car, but it's not the car. So,
right.
You know, saying using focus is the mechanism to help get the law of attraction to work, but it's not the law of attraction. The law of attraction is a universal force that amplifies thought. It is not focus itself.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can't really call...
It's a mechanism. It's a tool. It's a tool to get you...
It's a tool.
...to be a vibrational, in vibrational alignment with your inner being by knowing what it is you do want and therefore focusing on that. So...
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know where else to go with that, so I'm going to leave that one alone.
the more technical aspects of the law of attraction.
Yes, right. What I will say, though, is that getting back to the health topic for a moment, I have to give some credit to Western medicine in general because it is showing it is making a lot of progress. Perhaps not as much as many of us would like it to, but just to give you an example, I went last week because my left ear has been kind of clogged for the longest time, so I went to an ear doctor to have him clean out my ears, and which he did in about 5 minutes' time, which was the fastest that's ever been done before. I was amazed. But even more amazing was afterward, he got the wax out of the left ear, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, I can hear again, which was really great. But then he said something really, really kind of funny, but kind of touching on what we're talking about here. He asked, had I ever had this done before? I said, yeah, it was about 21 years ago after an auto accident, and everything was fine until about 3 or 4 years ago. He says, oh, so good. So I'll see you again in 17 years. and what he was basically trying to say is, you know, don't worry about this stuff anymore, which is good. You know, it means he is kind of in a laughing way saying, don't take all this stuff about wax in the ears and all that so seriously. That's good. Now, it's not the same thing as talking about healthy ears, but I see that as progress because I can't imagine an ear doctor saying that 21 years ago. I mean, it just would not have been my experience anyway.
Yeah, and you know, it's very true that the... you know, medicine has its place and it's making wonderful advances in many, 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 many ways. And, you know, that's what I was alluding to was just a kind of perspective, looking through the microscope rather than looking at the big picture, it just has its pros and its cons, really, in terms of what you want to achieve. But I think my point was also
that it's actually progressing toward a more holistic viewpoint. I mean, it's not there yet, but it's moving there. It's recognizing that there's something more than just what's the latest disease. There's something beyond that. And
the key, you know, the key, Walt, is the integration of medicine, traditional medicine with these holistic therapies. That is where the real, you know, the amalgamation of these two, that's where it gets really, really interesting, sort of working together and for the better of humanity. I mean, that's happening now, you know, that is happening. Many doctors and nurses are getting to know about Jinshin Jitsu and acupuncture is widely recognized as on the NHS here as well. So there is a lot of good stuff that's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot more acceptance than there was 50 years ago. I know that for sure.
Oh yes, yeah.
The interesting thing, Walt, is you say medical progression, and there's been big advancements now. If you said to a doctor, has the medical profession made many advancements, he'd be seeing it in a very different light to the way you see it.
That's true.
Very, very different. He'd be seeing it from, oh, yeah, we can now treat this, we can now do that, we can now help that. And you're thinking, are they seeing it more from a holistic point or what you want point of view, which is such a different point of view from medical advancement, the way they would see it.
Yeah, for them, mostly it's about technological advancement and what the computers can do and so forth.
Not only that, there's lots of, lots of different areas that they've been quite exceptional in that are not necessarily technical. But, I get what you're saying, and I agree with it. But it's the first thing, a doctor's never really says to you, or I've never had any doctor ever say this to me, say, Louis, you do know that you're in control of your own health completely.
Yeah, that would be different.
Completely, absolutely, utterly, and totally. And, if I give you this tablet, the more you believe in it, the more it's going to work for you.
When that day comes, I'll know we've made progress.
And, it's a far cry from where they are at the moment, teaching every individual on this planet that they're solely responsible for their own reality is a long way off.
It's a long way off for not just medical. It's a long way off for most of the population.
Exactly. Yeah. From every angle, from every modality, from every job, from every work, every subject.
I've become appreciative of just just how strongly so many people are attached to the things they don't want. I mean, they'll defend it. They'll fight for them. Mm. They'll go out of their way to shout somebody down who has, an opposite opinion to it. and it's in all areas. It's not just when they're not feeling good. It's in their work. It's in their entertainment. It's in their leisure time. It's like we live in a world of drama. And people like the drama. They love the drama. Drama's big. Drama's fun. Drama's exciting. That's what most people think. I say to myself, are you on the same planet as me? No.
Well, that's what Donald Shimoda said to Richard. How many people are on this planet?
Yes.
And Donald said, well, it's me. He says, well, that's brilliant. I'm going to give you a lunch. I didn't realize you were that advanced and understood that well. And then Richard says, and 8 billion other people. And he says, oh, no, forget the lunch. But, it's difficult to understand that we create our own world. And, when you look at other people and you say, are you on the same planet as me? The answer is really they're not. They're on their own planet. And, you get to appreciate that everybody's playing their own contrast. And they're having their, when they're really arguing and they're really fighting for their limitations, they're really creating contrast. And they're creating big time contrast so they can have big time expansion. So it's actually very perfect, and you get to the stage of really appreciating that, and that's what I'm loving at the moment. I'm like, wow, that's a really interesting game you're playing this lifetime. That's really interesting.
That's quite a big one to comprehend, actually, what you've just said, Louis.
It is. By the way, for people who are wondering what he's referring to, he's referring to the book Illusions by Richard Bach, which came out in the 1970s. If you're wondering what the illusion was, it's actually Illusions.
Astrid was talking about something slightly different.
Yeah, it was the last thing that you commented on, that everyone is creating their own reality and that it's big expansion within the contrast. And it's a difficult concept, I think, to get your head around.
Well, it takes practice, takes time, and takes getting rid of that annoying sound. Where is that coming from?
I don't know.
It's from you, Walt, I can hear. One ear, other ear. It's cooler.
I don't know what that
it's
was.
It's just a bit of contrast.
It's a bit of contrast. Well, we have a lot of history on the show with lots and lots of contrasting energy doing its energetic things. So maybe another example of it. Yeah. But I'm not sure what that is.
So I was listening to Abraham talking about how many of us, most of us, 95% of us, if not all of us, we get into these situations where we react. You know, we were saying going out into the world and sort of living in the world and reacting to what's happening in the world. Mm. So, and I suppose that's, you know, how do we first of all stop reacting and yeah, it was interesting.
I don't know how much this explains it, but this is what came to me from Abram as well. They're explaining the word unconditional love.
Mm.
And they say it's love without conditions. And when you're saying, you know, you're reacting to the world and what happens, that's conditional. When you're saying, I love the world anyway, no matter what happens to the world, that's unconditional love.
Yes.
So what I haven't figured out is what they call it when you're halfway in between. Like, yeah, I love unconditionally, but sometimes I slip into conditional.
It's called broken.
No, we're never broken, so I know it's not that.
Now, this is the answer to your question, Walt. It's, you can never be both at the same time.
This is true.
One moment you're one side and the other moment you're the other side, but you're never both at the same time. So you're either this vibration or you're that vibration, but you can't be both vibrations at the same time.
Mm.
But you can be going back and forth.
You can be going back and forth, yeah.
Which is quite tiring and confusing, actually.
Yes, it's eventually you give it up because you just get too tired.
This is true. That's very true. Yeah. But again, it's another case of something that goes away with practice.
It does.
But it
goes away with awareness as well. You know, once you understand what's happening.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know, unless somebody helps you understand that that is happening, then you bounce and you get hit one side and the other. And it gets a little bit sore. You see these people, they're doing this negative thing to themselves all the time. And I always get this image in my mind that they're taking their head and they're hitting against the wall. So haven't you learned it sore yet? No? Haven't you learned yet?
Well, I think it's changing the habit first. And practicing it second. Change the habit, practice it second. Practice what it is you want. Practice it different, something different.
But you know, I've heard that a lot in my life, Astrid, a lot, which is why I go back again and again to what this thing I'm saying is, you know you're doing something wrong and you know you probably should be doing something right. But until I understood the law of attraction, it didn't compute for me. The whole structure of raising your vibration, going from focusedly negative to generally positive, but focusedly positive, you know, going up the scale gently, understanding, you know, that the more you focus on what you want, it expands. The more you focus on what you don't want, it expands. You know, if you don't get that basics right, I didn't understand it. It just felt like, yeah, the way I like explaining it was when I was a kid at school, and I've mentioned this once before, this girl won an award for the best debater, and she was debating, no, not debater, she was it was a speech or something, and she was talking about positivity, and because she was so good at it, and she won the award for it, and she did it at assembly at school, so everybody's in the school hall, and she stood on stage, and she gave us the whole positivity thing, and I felt like it was terrible and I wanted to puke. And I was like, why? I mean, she's talking about positivity. And I was so over here on the one side and she was talking about over there and she never taught me how to get from there to there. And that's when I realized it was kind of like phony holy, you know, it's like just go out there and get there. But once Abraham Hicks came on the scene, you start saying, oh, this is exactly how it works. This is understanding that the more you focus on what you want, it expands. The more you focus on what you don't want, it expands. So when you say no to something, you're saying yes to something you don't want. And, you know, I would have said these things 100 times on this podcast, but once that drills into you, once you get the basics, then everything you've said, Astrid, works beautifully.
I think that's true. I've also noticed, too, with Abraham Hicks, and this may not be true about everybody, but it certainly was my experience. it took me quite a lot of time, and I think to a certain extent I'm still trying to come to terms with it, but it took me a lot of time to come to terms with the idea you can't get it wrong and you'll never get it done, particularly the first part, that you can't get it wrong. So as I look around at other people and the lives they're leading and so forth, and I ask myself about the choices they're making, I say, why on earth are they making those choices? Those choices are going to lead to them having all kinds of experiences that they aren't going to like and so forth. And then I have to remind myself, well, okay, I guess on some level they like that. I guess on some level they want that. I guess on some level that's really what they're all about. Okay. But it's still, it can be a sticking point. It can be really easy to see what somebody else is going through and saying, God, why are they doing that? Not realizing, of course, that you're doing the exact same thing.
So that the big thing there, Walt, is minding your own business.
Well, true. Yes, exactly.
Because when you're minding your own business, you don't have time to wonder why they mind how they are minding their business. You just say, oh, well, I know where I'm going and I'm going to continue this way. And I know that if I keep on doing what I want, I'm going to be the best help to this person, no matter what they're doing, because I'm going to get into a happy place. My happiness is going to spread to them, and that's all that matters.
But that's the one that can be hard to get to, that understanding that you're just describing. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if I'm looking at the real world, you know, the people who are out there, particularly famous people, because they're easy to point to, I'll pick, like, you know, Genghis Khan from history, right? I mean, who on earth would want to be Genghis Khan? That's the way it seems to me.
Well,
and yet,
did.
Apparently, he did. Yeah.
He did.
In fact, he enjoyed it. He had a great time doing it.
Hitler and all the rest, yes. The interesting thing Abram points out with all these dudes is that once they've died, none of the negativity stays with them. It's all gone.
Yes.
There's no hell. There's no none of this. So it was really interesting once I learned all that.
I can't remember who said it to me, but somebody had some sort of psychic reading or psychic connection or something, and they said that they asked and learned that on the other side, on the non-physical side, an extensive search had been done for the energy of Hitler, and nobody could find it.
For Genghis Khan, and even from your previous lives.
Oh, that's right, yeah. That just wasn't there.
Well, you would find it there, but you would only find the positive aspects.
Which means you probably wouldn't
recognize
it.
Which nobody wanted to be looking for.
So that's right.
You wouldn't know them if you saw them.
how to hide in plain sight.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
It's true, though. And it's hard sometimes to remember that we do live in a world of contrast, and that world of contrast is perfectly fine. But when I remind myself of that, it does have a calming effect.
Mm.
And the more often that I remind myself of that, the more it does have a calming effect. And then I twist it and flip it around to, instead of you can't get it wrong, I turn it around to I always get it right.
Mm.
And then when I flip it that way, it starts to feel even better. And then after a while, like you said, like you alluded to a moment ago, it then gets to the point where I don't even care about what these other people are doing. It doesn't make any difference anymore because now I'm feeling really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is when you're feeling really, really good, guess who you're going to bring towards you?
Yes.
Those people are feeling good, and you won't even see that stuff anymore. It'll all be vanished.
Right.
Yep. And then you'll think the world's changed. It's a much better place. You've changed. You've changed, and you're a much better place because
mm-hmm.
you live in your world.
And it was always thus so. It was
exactly.
Just, yeah.
But that is really exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's so empowering.
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's do a bit of a rampage about that. It's so empowering. It's so exciting. It's so...
Well, it's releasing is what it is. And we were talking about the importance of relieving and releasing. That's what that does for me. It gives me a tremendous sense of release and relief.
So you just feel like your body is just, relaxing. And you're not holding on to anything. And
it allows you to dream again. It allows you to start visualizing what you want. It starts helping you believe that you can actually achieve it, not by yourself, but with the law of attraction, amplifying your belief and your thoughts and your wants. And it just gets so more exciting because you get a little bit more of what you want, and then you see that it works, and then you're using it more, and you get more and more, and there's a whole ripple effect, and it goes bigger and bigger and bigger, and you just get so excited you want to jump off your chair.
Sure. So the key there, Louis, is to focus on things that are working and then amplify those things that are working in your life. So, okay, so let's, so if we said something really simple, what, I'm breathing. Hey, I woke up and I'm still breathing.
As my friend Joel Elster would say, my mission on life is not yet complete.
No. He's read Illusions too.
Yes, yes.
If you want to know if your mission on Earth is complete, if you're alive, it isn't.
Okay, so I oversimplified it, but fundamentally, you
know,
it's accurate. Breathing is pretty fundamental and pretty good.
It really is.
Profound, you know.
Absolutely. I promise you, when you start doing breathing techniques and you start getting them right, you really feel good. I mean, they are very powerful. You're completely
breathing properly is very good and very simple. And you know, in the meditations that Abraham has given us, like the well-being and the physical meditation, yeah. And
they,
you know,
do that weird breathing, yeah.
Well, it's not weird breathing. It's just breathe in for three and breathe out for five. Breathe in for three and breathe out for five. And that is kind of the deep breathing that gets you into a rhythm.
I remember somebody asked Abram, well, why did you make it three and five? And Abram says, well, just because you're not used to it, it gives you something else to focus on so that you're not focusing on what you don't want. And I was like, oh, that's so simple. Because it really does take you a while to get used to that and those little meditations. Like,
yes.
How does it go? Am I doing it right?
Yes.
Actually, my experience with that was, it was, why do I have to do three and five? This is so exhausting. I'm just going to go back to breathing. I mean, I can't do this anymore.
I've done a lot of different breathing techniques in my life, and you start getting used to playing with the different ones. There's a little app that you can download for free, and it allows you to set how many seconds you're not breathing, how many you breathe in for, how many you hold for, and how many you breathe out for, and then it starts again. And some of them are done very well, beautifully done with meditation bowls and all other things. And Insight Timer, if anybody's looking for a great app, I'm on Insight Timer. And it's got all the people around the world meditating. So you can literally see where in the world and who's meditating with you at this precise moment in time. And then they've got walk through or talk through meditations and all the rest of it, which you can listen to for free. It's a great app. I really, really admire it. It also can just be used simply to help with the meditation with the different gongs, with the different bells and the different breathing and all the other things that you want to do. So, yeah, it's really cool. I strongly, highly recommend it. And it's how I've met quite a few people already. It's a really nice app.
Through an app. Wow. Okay. All right.
Insight Timer.
Okay. Well, thank you for the recommendation. Since we're going to do breathing recommendations, I'll tell you what my approach is. I tried a number of these different things that they teach, and they all drove me nuts. And I decided I didn't want to do any of them. So I boiled it down to one simple thing. I've learned to notice when it is I'm breathing shallow. And when I do, I take a deep breath. And
cool.
That's my entire technique.
Cool.
That's pretty good, Walt. That's
simplicity itself. Oh, I'm breathing shallow. Yeah. Time to take a breath.
Yes. Nothing better than that.
If you identify that, then that is really good because that's half the battle.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And amazingly, you really, no matter what your situation is, you calm
it
down.
It does calm you down, yeah, yeah.
Very quickly. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with. So.
Well, I can't believe our hour is over already. So blow me away.
I know. We fly through them. We really do. And I don't know what it is about Mondays, but Mondays I always forget to do the promotional messages until the end. But, you know, we're true to form. So here we are at the end, and I'll do the promotional messages. One of these days I'm going to remember to do them earlier in the show like I do on Fridays and Wednesdays and so forth. But, basically it's very simple. The same message we do every single time that we do them. If you're not yet a subscriber, we want you to become one. And people are following my request. I'm really very grateful to those who are recent subscribers because you listened. You said, yes, I'm going to become a subscriber. But for those who have not yet made that decision to take the plunge, feel free because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you get five good shows a week, all of them a little bit different, all of them on different topics, different co-hosts, different conversations, different levels of comedy, different levels of insights. I mean, it's always good every single time. And very simple to do. Just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and right at the top of the page, it will give you instructions on exactly what you do. In most cases, it's one click, I'm finding out. I've done a good enough job of setting that up at the top of the page that people are mostly doing it one click. I do know there are times when it takes two clicks. Sometimes you have to do a George Jetson and do three clicks. You know, that's your really tough work day. But for most people, it's one click, and then all of our shows are coming streaming right to your phone automatically every single day that we do them. And by the way, also check us out on YouTube, because when we record these shows, we live stream to YouTube. And if you subscribe there and click the little bell next to the subscription button, you'll be notified every single time that we put out a new show. And you can even follow us live. You can join us for a live stream. We've been kind of quiet on the live stream audience, although Jenny joined in and said, thanks for listening and thanks for doing it, guys, but I got to run. So, you know, you can do a drop by like she does, you know. That's okay. But feel free to find us on YouTube, and you can even see what we look like, too, which in my case isn't always great, but Louis is gorgeous. So, yeah.
Why, thank you, Walt. My dad taught me when somebody compliments you, just say two words.
Thank you.
Actually, I can't remember whether it was Linda or Cindy. We did an entire show on the value of appreciating compliments. We have a tendency to toss, I think it was Cindy, we have a tendency to toss compliments aside. You know, somebody offers to buy us dinner, we say, oh, no, I've got it. It's like, no, except you've been trying to attract money. You just got money. You've been trying to attract things. Say thank you. Appreciate it, you know? It's a really good practice to remind ourselves to do these things because, oh, boy, it's so easy for them to slip by. And when we do them, oh, my goodness, life gets so much better. It gets tremendously better.
Appreciation. Thank you, listeners.
Yes, thank you indeed. Any last... Well, I know we didn't really do the rampage, Astrid, but maybe we'll save the rampage for next time. But any last thoughts on how to get your vibration up before we sign off for the day?
Oh, I'm just flying high and very relaxed, and I'm going to, you know, go to sleep now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough. How about you, Louis?
Oh, I love things like massage or a good movie or a good chat with a friend. All of those work for me.
Okay. Actually, anything that feels good will do it, you know, when you really come down to it. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, live streamers. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners who are now approaching over 500 per episode. We appreciate you so much. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.